Hey, Supermom. We know every mom has a desire and the ability to be a supermom who does it all. So tune in to the Crunchy Supermom Show and let's design a holistic life that fits.
Hey, Supermoms. I'm Mandy.
And I'm Sarah.
We're the creators of the Crunchy Supermom blog. Today, we're going to talk about homeschooling, which is something we both do with our kids, and we know a lot of other supermoms do it the same thing. They homeschool too. But while there are numerous things we could talk about, as with so many of our topics, our pillar topics that we have, today we want to focus on something that's actually really general for all families with kids, even if you don't homeschool. And that topic is, what kind of homeschool or school supermom are you? And are you comfortable with it, or do you want to change? We're going to offer some tips on both tightening up your schooling schedule and also the opposite end of the spectrum, how to relax and give your kids some more room for autonomy. So stay tuned, even if you're not a homeschooling supermom, because this will still apply to you. As usual, we are trying to ask you, you don't take notes, because we've already done that for you. To get the show notes for today's episode, go to crunchysupermom.com/homeschool. We'll link to everything we talk about in the show and provide you with our action plan so you can just sit back and listen stress-free. Just make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. The first thing I wanted to talk to you and ask you about, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, but was the homeschool videos by Blimey Cow. Have you seen those?
I have not.
They're hilarious to me, and I was homeschooled on and off as a kid, so I can relate personally to what they're talking about and what they're making light of. To me, it's cute humor that pokes fun of homeschool families, and the creators are just some young adults that were homeschooled, and I always get a laugh at what they have to say, and there's this one that goes through the 12 types of homeschool moms, and we'll link to it in our show notes so you can see it, but I have to admit their examples like describe me and so many other moms I know, because they talk about like unhealthy mom, the unhealthy healthy, you know, mom.
And
I'm like, oh, that's me. Funny. But anyway, what kind of homeschool mom would you say you are, Sarah?
I'm going to have to check this video out because I don't have a label for myself, except I do have a hard time relating to other homeschool moms, because I am a child-directed learning diehard. So worksheets and group learning events that involve like an adult talking at children just doesn't appeal to me. And I might have ruined my children already. My oldest is just about to turn 8 because I have this attitude, but, or else maybe they just don't enjoy that kind of learning. There's this event that we go to every month, a homeschool science event. And I swear that it's the only time I ever have like serious shame where my kids look like these misbehaving maniacs at this homeschool science event. Oh my gosh, I'm trying not to bust out laughing. I mean, there's this, it's a 4-hour thing, but there's this 30-minute lecture and it's so dry that I was like, oh yeah, cool. They're going to talk about creating topsoil. I'm a nerd. I couldn't sit through it. Like I just couldn't. And I didn't have to sit. I was chasing a toddler and even reading a book while trying to listen to it. I was so bored. I mean, it's a great program, but the 30-minute section, well, all three of my kids were just like, mom, I want to go. One wanted to go build a rocket and the other one wanted to observe like the moon rocks. Right. Which it's not like they're saying, hey, I want to go play with the TV, but they just couldn't sit through it. So anyway, sorry, tangent there, but I just have a hard time forcing my kids to sit down and listen to even another adult. I know it's disrespectful and everyone's booing me right now, but and everyone was glaring at me, but I just don't think that this is the age for lecture-based learning. I mean, my oldest being almost 8, it's just at the time of this recording, I mean, she will read a book and she can tell you anything you want to know about it. And I feel like that's child-directed. And from the very beginning, I was convinced that the Montessori method was definitely the best way to educate and nurture children, not just like in education, but like just in living. And so we started implementing Maria Montessori's philosophies around the time our oldest daughter was about to turn 1. And I own a complete Montessori school up through the traditional grade of 4. Fourth grade. So it's kind of organized in our one room schoolhouse, but we do use it and she gets to choose like what she wants to learn. So that makes me weird. But I do have this other part of me that needs a checklist, or I kind of feel like I'm going insane. And it's hard to implement Montessori with a checklist, but I've kind of witnessed how amazing it is to just let the children choose their own learning. They don't spit out like a performance report for you, right? Like that's what you do in a traditional setting. It's like, here, I give you this information, you spit out this product for me, and I know that you've accomplished something. Well, kids in Montessori don't do that. In child-directed learning, that's not what they do. So it was hard to feel confident that I was doing the right thing for about 3 years. But now my kids, you know, they're just, they choose what they want to learn, and their product or their proof of learning comes in a different form that I've kind of learned to like use my intuition, I guess, or I don't know how you describe it, but I can gather that they've learned things in different ways. It might come about like a year later or 10 days later. Does that make any sense at all?
That makes sense to me. And I completely agree. And it's still, it takes a long time to feel confident. And even still, you sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I should be doing this more, you know, more by the book, more strict, more the way it is with in school. Because, you know, that's kind of what we know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And even I did homeschool, and even as homeschool, my mom's a teacher. So I was very much like school at home, not so much, you know, child directed. And, you know, I don't know. It's hard to feel confident. But I guess for me, I'm like you, I can't live or function without the routine and our loose schedule, because I feel like everything would kind of fall apart. But I also don't want to have that strict timeline every day, because the kids aren't happy. And one of the reasons I wanted to do homeschool was to keep their passion alive for learning, because, you know, when they're little, they love to learn. And my dad was a teacher too. And he said, like, by the time it was like grade six, you know, the kids are, they're dead. They don't want to learn anymore because they've already had all those years of it being hammered into them, you know? And I think that, so I did not want to lose that for my kids. And I saw when I was trying to push my own agenda and my own schedule so I could check all my boxes and feel really, you know, proud of myself, that they were like losing their, you know, I don't like school. And I'm like, you never said that before. So I had to like scale it back and just think of it again as a routine. So I went back to having the general routine, not the set schedule, letting them, you know, I don't want to end history because I'm done with it at this time and they're still having a million questions. So we just, you know, let them direct it that way too. And I will cancel another subject even if I have it planned, you know, that we're going to hit this today, just so they can keep on trying to learn what they're focused in on. Otherwise, it's like the bells in the school, you know, you're like, oh, it's ending now, we're done, you move on. They can't do that. My kids don't transition that quickly at all. And so I've had to completely let that go. And it's nice because we have flexibility to branch off into things that really interest them. And I don't have to feel like I'm getting behind. So for example, we took a trip last year all through the Revolutionary War sites from Massachusetts down to Virginia.
Awesome.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun. We want to do it again. But instead of doing our history curriculum during that whole fall, we focused only on the Revolutionary War. And they like loved it, and they read all about it during their free time. They knew more stuff than my husband and I. My husband's a history major, and like,
oh, wow.
They're like writing a lot of facts, and we're like, where did you even pick that up? But they loved it. We'd go on these tours, and they'd be rattling off stuff, and the adults are like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know the answer either. It was so self-directed that they plowed forward, and that's what they wanted to do. And obviously, you know, that's one example that's in relation to homeschool, but a routine for schooling is, you know, even important for your kids who do attend school, because there's outside requirements, homework to talk about. So having that routine, I think, is important for all families, no matter homeschool or outside of school. And I think that it kind of sets them up for success, getting used to the routine. You know, if your kids go to school, you know, I've always heard people talk about how their kids will bring a project home. And I know I did it as a kid too. When I went to school, bring a project home and like, oh, mom, guess what? I have all this to do today. It's due tomorrow. And then mom's like, what?
Right.
So if you have this routine, you know, I'm going to check and look at your notebook today and tonight and see what you have due and what we're going to talk about, what you have due next week. It helps them learn how to prepare when they go off to, if they go to high school or if they go to college or just in life in general for a job, prepare, you know, with a routine. And I think it can help just de-stress families. And I don't know, what do you think the biggest thing a routine could do for a family that doesn't
I mean, like I see those, there's two ways to look at those projects that they bring home from school. And it's kind of like what you're describing, like a unit study,
yeah, you
know, where your kids just went off on their own thing because that was presented to them. Like, if your kid comes home and they're really excited about a project that they have to do for school, I feel like that's a great opportunity to turn it into what, you know, whatever they want. But I have this, like, if it were me, let's say my kids were in school, I would almost have this, I'd have to say, you know what, if you get a C on this project because you did it the way you wanted to do it and you learned from it the way you wanted to learn from it, I would be okay with that. Because I just think that can, like, those science fair projects that they make kids do.
Yeah.
And that's, like, totally a tangent there. But, like, I just think that, you know, having the routine of working on things together as a family is really important. And like you said, it sets them up for future success. But I don't know. I feel like, how do you fit in your bonding at night without a routine if they also have schoolwork? And so just like parents who send their kids to school, we as homeschooling parents, my family, we have an after school routine as well. I mean, cause we still, you know, we did school and they might not have loads of homework to take care of, but they do have, you know, like chores. And if they don't get to bed on time, that's just going to set us up for failure and they're going to be overtired. And my patience starts dwindling around 3 o'clock anyway. And I mean, I know I'm with my kids all day, but I can only imagine that, like, as a working out of the home adult, that your patience is also dwindling. Oh, and yeah. So if I think it's important to set a bedtime, like, what time should the children be in bed? And even if they're not asleep, you know, if they're old enough, like 10 or 14, where you're like, listen, at this time, you need to be in your bed. You need to be attempting to go to sleep or reading a quiet book, you know, no screen time, whatever. I mean, for me, if my kids are out of the room after 7 o'clock, the mama is coming out, the mama dragon's coming out breathing fire. And I mean, I think it's hilarious because my oldest, she's really intuitive and routine oriented. So there are these times when she's had something important she wants to ask me and I can see it in her face. Like, she forgot to ask me before 7 o'clock. I've actually seen her check the clock before she comes to me. And like recently she just goes, she goes, mom, it's just a little past seven. And it was like 7:20 on the clock. She goes, so can I just ask you one question or are you too grumpy already? In a way, like, I kind of felt a little bad that I've talked up this mama dragon so much that she wanted to avoid her. But at the same time, like, I know my limits and setting this boundary is just as important for me as it is for her because, you know, this is the takeaway for all families, regardless of how your children spend their day. The evening routine is just so important for your parents getting your nightly chores done and then setting yourself up for success in the morning. And it's also important, you know, to have that time to connect with your children and to live as a family unit. You know, like if you have two parents in the home and all the children, this might be your only chance to like work together, but it's not okay to throw any boundaries that you need. I mean, marital time and personal time are still valid needs for adults. And if we don't protect that time, I mean, we can easily grow to resent our parenting duties. I know I've felt that way before, and I always have extra empathy for like working outside of the home parents or even parents who stay at home, but their kids go to school. I mean, I'm going off in the deep end, but I mean, as a solo parent, the last 3 years when my husband was gone, like you have to build a family unit routine to like adopt everybody and make sure everyone's taken care of. So I don't know. Does that make sense? I mean, do you have a routine like that at your house?
No, we do. And I have, it's like you, I never really thought of it as an after school routine, but I guess it actually really is because we're done with school and now we move into our next phase of routine.
Right.
Because I'm the same way. Like, I mean, I think it's the same. You're with your children all day, or if you're at a job all day, it's still, I mean, my husband goes to a job all day and even still he can get overstimulated and overwhelmed. He needs time. And so our kids have to go to bed. And again, it's like you said, it's every family is different, but we have four kids. And so their needs are important. Their needs are still their wants often, you know, for our little ones. And, you know, they can't separate those and we have to actually meet those needs. And so if they're awake and they're out of the room, you know, they're going to need something for us and we have to almost meet that need.
Right.
So our boundaries have to be that you have to go to bed, you have to stay in bed, you know, or you have to read your book. You know, we have various ages. So our oldest can stay up a little later with his reading light and read because they're in the same room together, you know.
Yeah.
But each has their own little reading time and they're not supposed to, you know, continuously come out and come out. It's difficult.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Keep them in. And like you said, but again, I agree totally that boundary you have to have it so that you can keep the patience and not yell. So it's like, it's a kindness thing almost.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean,
after, all those hours, right?
Right. I mean, if you didn't have that, then instead of bonding, you'd pretty much just be fighting. I mean, I've had that. Yes. Like, now that my husband's not gone all the time, like, our evening routine was horrible because he was violating it. And I'm not talking, I'm not criticizing him. He just didn't know it because he hadn't built it with us. So he'd come home and just, like, throw the routine out the window. And then we would spend the next, you know, 2 hours fighting everyone to get them in bed. And he's like, oh, these kids are out of control, you know?
Right, yeah.
no, they just, you're not following the routine. We have blurred boundaries. And, I mean, that's just how it is. Kids work so well with routine.
Yeah, it's so true. And if you throw it out, and yeah, you do want to be like that. You want to say, or I did too. I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? Why? It's not their fault. It is my fault for not effectively having a routine or veering from it, or even just giving in a little bit. I mean, of course, like you with your daughter, you're coming, mine will do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, can I tell you one thing? And I'm like, oh.
I dare you.
Yeah, I don't know. But because otherwise it would be, I'm going to tell you one thing, and then all of a sudden it's 9 o'clock at night, and then nobody's getting sleep. Everyone's fussy. So yeah, it's not a good thing. But anyway, for our, you know, obviously we think routines are key, and like we have to have that, and we had to have not only the nightly routine but also the routine for our school, and it incorporates into our chores and all of our activities, and it just kind of flows. And so you don't have to think of this as a rigid schedule, and you can keep it as loose as you want, but just knowing and your kids knowing what comes next is huge for us. And we start out by cleaning one section of the house, doing like morning chores upstairs, and then we'll go to eating breakfast, and then we clean up, and they have certain chores that they know to do. And then after that, we move into the first subjects, whatever they are for the day, for schooling. And just because they know that's what's going to happen, and they try to dilly-dally, like they try to slow it down, you know, and they do. And so I try not to hound too much on the schedule, but you know, cause they want to have some say in what happens when, but they know, because they know what happens next, nothing is a huge fight, you know, as far as that goes. As far as schooling goes, we don't do every subject every day. And I use just my simple Google Calendar with reminders onto my phone that just to keep us on track with each subject. I don't have a lesson plan or a certain number of pages or lessons to be completed during the day. What often happens is the children get to choose how much they want to do in a day. And my only requirement will be that we at least address some of it. Not always, like I said, if we have a history lesson that goes really long and they're really into it, I will just say, we will move this next subject on to another time.
Right.
But some days, maybe they have pages and pages of math they want to do. Like, they will be like, I'm going to get to here, you know, I'm going to get to here today. And I'm like, okay, well, we can try to do all that. But other days, they get frustrated with something if it's new, or they don't want to do it. They are not feeling it that day. So they might just do one page or even part of a page. I just try to get them to actually, that's one of my things, to address it. Sometimes we'll combine things, like we'll do, you know, I'll say, all right, well, let's go ahead and practice our best handwriting while we're doing our spelling, our vocabulary that we're trying to do. And they like doing that because they're like, oh, wow, I can just practice my handwriting now, you know? Right. And so they feel like they have some sort of autonomy and control in it. And I'm happy because I have a routine, general plan. They're happy because they have, you know, some control and say over what they're doing when they're doing it. And some of this works for me too, because we actually do school year round. And of course we have breaks in there because we want to be able to travel if we have the opportunity, and it works for us. Again, I think every family has to figure that out, right, what works the best for them. But for me, I feel like I have more flexibility and I don't have to make sure everything's getting, you know, hit the subject or anything like that. But you know, I think finding your ideal routine, what's perfect for your family, and becoming an expert at shifting that routine based on the needs of your family and the kids at that time. You know, like you said, your husband's coming home now. And so you have to kind of shift things around, you know, based on where you are in your life. And I guess that's our general routine. And so I want to hear what yours is.
Oh, yeah. So before we moved, for any listeners that didn't follow along, I moved from Washington State to the Deep South in Louisiana. And,
change.
Just a little bit of a change.
Yeah.
So when we were in Tacoma, Washington, I would just do like mealtime, chore time, school time, fun time, right? Just this, it more like a if this, then that kind of thing that I talked about before. Mm-hmm. Super simple, real basic, no agenda, and we schooled year round just like you do. But now, it's not, that's not working so well because my oldest is a very self-directed learner. So we start off our morning just like you do with like breakfast, morning chore in an area of the house. They have their bedroom tidy and they get cleaned up, like dressed, washed, face, whatever. And then we do school lessons if it's not like a hike day or like a field trip. But right now what's working for us is to use a timer, the 30-30 app. It's a little complicated, but I've basically put all of our so-called subjects into the timer as individual tasks, and each one has 25 minutes. And I pair two of those 25-minute tasks together with like a 10-minute break. So they'll do, you know, like the oldest will do 25 minutes of math. My middle does 25 minutes of typing while my oldest is doing map work. And then we do a 10-minute break. So it's like 25 on, 25 on, 10 minutes off. And we repeat the cycle four times. And when we have like what I would call a full school day, and I'm not making them like rigidly work for 25 minutes, but basically it's like, hey, we're starting this subject area or this project. And when the timer goes off, you can switch. But basically, and part of it was because like my oldest was getting frustrated with math because it's getting hard. She's actually in a sixth grade level for math.
Oh, wow. So,
and it's like, I don't want her, she doesn't need to finish the book in a year, right? Because she's already ahead. But I just want her to do a little bit each day or each time we sit down. So the 25 minutes was like, that's it. You give 25 minutes on and you're done. And it's worked so well where the kids are actually like plowing through their work. But every day is different for us when we sit down to do the lesson time. And it's basically my goal to do 24 clusters a week. And part of the reason why I'm doing this a little bit more rigid than I'd like is my husband really wanted like more proof of learning because our kids are getting older. And I, in order to respect that and to like compromise, I'm basically just committing to 24 clusters a week, which is, it's only 24 hours of school minus the break. So it's like a little over 22 hours. And that's not counting like tennis and swim and, you know, field trips. But I feel like that's, you know, for us, we have to do that. It's a little bit more rigid than I'd like, but the kids love it. They don't feel, you know, they don't feel like they're trapped to a desk. They still get to pick their work. And it's always like child directed, but, and I have this toddler, you know, so like when she's a little bit less of a toddler, I think it'll be easier. I don't know what yours does, but ours will sit and like read with us. And she asks all sorts of amazing questions. Like when we're learning the body right now and she's like, my body, this is my body,
right?
My heart. And then she starts shouting it and then sings really loudly over the top of us. So, I mean, she's learning, totally learning.
Yeah.
And I have all the Montessori activities out for her to kind of help her, but you know, she just wants to be with her big sisters. But I really feel like that short timer allows the kids to work on an area of learning that they don't love or they're not really into in that moment and not feel forced to like produce something or accomplish something. And my middle child is strictly using Montessori, so she doesn't switch gears every 25 minutes the way that my oldest does. So she's still kind of picking out her classroom work. It sounds really complicated, but it's not. And I hope that some of you who don't like routines or this much rigidity are your eyes glazed over or your ears or your ears clogged. Like, but for those of you who are type A, I know that you're just like, ooh, tell me more, tell me more. But so the most important takeaway is that it takes time to see what does and doesn't work for your family and then develop a routine based on that and then just stick with it no matter what's going on. Like if you're sick or have a like a moody day, you just have to put one foot in front of the other and do your routine because it, in the long run, it does pay off.
To sum all this up, everything we've been talking about, we really just, you know, as with other aspects of life, having a routine with school, if it's homeschool or after school work, is critical. And we shared our routines and hope that maybe could provide you with some ideas to get your own routine started or even perfected. But there's just no one routine that is right for every family. And again, it will change. It's changed for our families throughout, you know, over time. We have to modify always. So we just hope that these ideas can help get you started in the path toward having a school, just having a school routine that really works for you and your family. And it might include scheduling or it might not. It's just a perfect balance you have to find. And once you do, you will know and you will see the results in your children and how happy they are with it and everything. We put together a packet of tools to help get you started in creating routine, and we're also available to answer questions in our private Facebook group, when we'll link to that in our show notes so you can join in. And you're just going to love what we put together for you, so don't forget to now go to crunchysupermom.com/homeschool to get all that information. And until next time, start working on those routines, supermoms.